World Sport from the BBC with Andrew Horse coming up in the next 10 minutes. Last minute goals and missed penalties galore as Manchester United are beaten by Sunderland in a shootout in the English League Cup semi-finals.
Welbeck hits it over the crossbar again, that's amazing.
Jones, you think he'll thump it?
Over the crossbar!
Johnson, left footed for Wembley,
saved by De Gea!
This has to be scored by Raphael.
He's saved by Maloney and Sunderland are through to the Capital One Cup final at Wembley.
Well, maybe Juan Mata can successfully convert spot kicks for Manchester United. The Chelsea midfielder is to have a medical ahead of a possible move to Old Trafford. And it's semi-finals day in Melbourne for the women at the Australian Open Tennis. But to begin with football, where Old Trafford became the theatre of the absurd as Sunderland went through to the English League Cup final at Manchester United's expense in a penalty shootout. Sunderland won 2-1 on penalties after both sides had scored in the final minutes of extra time. It was Javier Hernandez's goal for Manchester United in the 128th minute that set up yet more drama. The BBC's Alan Green tried to make sense of it all.
A quite unbelievable climax to the second leg. United, even an out-of-sorts United, were favourites to go through, particularly when Evans' header put them in front in the first half, making the aggregate scores level. But the longer the game went on, the tireder United looked. Sunderland sought a killer goal, but we had to go into extra time. Sunderland still applying the pressure, and close to the end of the second period of extra time, Bardsley scored, helped by a horrible De Gea mistake. Seconds of added time left, and Hernandez put United back in front of the night and took us to penalties. Most of those penalties were horrible, but Sunderland held the greater nerve, 2-1 winners in the shootout.
Well, the Manchester United manager David Moyes admitted they didn't deserve to go through.
Well, we didn't play well enough to do it, but we did have chances to put the game to bed, really, with a few breaks. But I thought Sunderland played well tonight. They deserve the credit. They've got themselves to the final. Over the first half and the second half, I didn't think we done well enough, albeit it looked as if we were going to get ourselves to the final, but until the last minute.
Well, Manchester United have made a bid of around $58 million for the Chelsea midfielder Juan Mata, the Spanish international. And the bid's been tabled through intermediaries acting on behalf of the Premier League champions. Mata didn't train with Chelsea's first team on Wednesday and is now due to have a medical on Thursday. Our sports news editor David Bond has more.
He's out of favour under Jose Mourinho. Mourinho and him seem to have a great relationship, and he does rate him as a player, but he doesn't quite fit into the Mourinho system. So Mourinho, and I think Chelsea will look at that as an opportunity to not only move him on, but also to get a huge amount of money. I mean, this is potentially a very good deal for Chelsea. Interestingly, this deal seems to have been, or the approach seems to have been made via intermediaries. United still maintaining that no official bid has been made, and it's being done through intermediaries. But I do think a move is moving closer now.
Nicolas Anelka has called on the English Football Association to drop the charge against him for his controversial Quinnell goal celebration. In a statement on his Facebook page, the West Bromwich Albion striker reiterates he's not anti-Semitic or racist. The details now from our sports news reporter Richard Conway.
He's asked the FA to lift the charges. It's the clearest indication that we've had that he will challenge and contest the FA charge that was made against him after that Quinnell gesture that he made at the end of December when scoring for West Brom. So the statement is quite interesting. It goes on to explain that he says that he thinks the English FA should have employed an expert to rule on the significance of Mike Quinnell. And he said it's been concluded that my gesture had an anti-Semitic connotation.
Meanwhile, four more of West Bromwich Albion's sponsors say they're now reviewing their positions following the players' action. It comes after their shirt sponsor Zoopla announced on Monday that they wouldn't be renewing their deal with the club at the end of the season. Elsewhere, a Christian Tello hat-trick saw Barcelona win 4-1 at Levante in the last leg of the Copa del Rey in a first-leg match, and Lionel Messi set up all three of those goals. While Paris Saint-Germain's hopes of a domestic League and Cup double in France are over, they were beaten 2-1 at home by Montpellier in the French Cup. Egyptian Premier League club Zamalek have appointed Amido as their new manager. The 30-year-old striker started his career with the club and went on to compete across Europe for the likes of Ajax, Roma, Marseille and Tottenham Hotspur. He also won the 2006 Africa Cup of Nations with Egypt, but he has no managerial experience. And Karim Said from the Egyptian football website yalakora.com says it's a huge risk for club and player.
One of the person in charge in Zamalek said that they are copying the Seedorf experience in Milan, when Milan took Seedorf after he quit football, and he put him as the manager of the AC Milan of Italy. They said that they are copying the same thing. They may be compared in this point. Yes, Milan as a player was a very, very great player in the Egyptian history, Egyptian football history. He is the famous professional that plays in Europe. He took the Dutch league with Ajax. He played in Marseille. He played in Celta Vigo. He has a lot. He played for Tottenham. He has a big career, like Seedorf in Europe and in Milan. And Mido is an icon for Zamalek. That's for sure. But I still believe that that's not the credit that you will depend on to give him a position like that. You know. I think they are risking the player name, and they are risking the team name.
Now, Manchester City have had a deal approved to take control of the Australian A-League team, the Melbourne Heart. The Australian Football Federation say they regard the investment from outside the country as a vote of confidence in their competition. And Japan is set to bring in one of its highest-profile overseas football signings for some time. The Uruguayan international striker Diego Forlan has used Twitter to say that he's going to join Cerezo Osaka, who finished fourth in this year's J-League. Now on to tennis, where Thursday is women's semi-final day at the Australian Open in Melbourne. And first on the Rod Laver Arena, it's China's fourth seed Li Na against the Canadian teenager Eugenie Bouchard. Now Li Na will start as the favourite, having reached the final twice and the semi-finals here on four occasions. But Bouchard says she won't be overawed and has a pretty good idea of what to expect from her opponent.
Well, she's a great champion. She's won a slam as well, so it's going to be really tough. I played her once in Montreal 2 years ago, and we had a close match, but you know, it was one of my first bigger matches, so it'll be interesting to play her. I know she's really, you know, solid, very good from the back, so it's going to be hard, but I'm looking forward to it.
Eugenie Bouchard, who is attracting a growing fan club worldwide. Well, let's hear from Hatem Makhdari now, the Vice President of Tennis Development at Tennis Canada. And he says Bouchard's success, coupled with Milos Raonic's breakthrough into the men's top 20, is making a massive difference to the sport in the country.
We are a hockey nation, and we're known for hockey and the hockey culture here. But what Milos has done and what Eugenie has done, and last year, we made the semifinals of the Davis Cup, and we lost to Djokovic in Serbia. It went down to the last match. It's been huge, and it will inspire. We're really hoping it'll inspire another generation of young athletes. And we've seen the game grow over the last 5 years in Canada. We went from 4 million Canadians playing, and we're over 5 million Canadians in 2012. So playing, and we're over 5 million Canadians in 2012. So over the last 5 years, there's been tremendous growth, and you'd have to attribute a lot of that to the recognition of these athletes are bringing to the sport in Canada.
Dominika Sabulkova, who knocked out the 2008 champion Maria Sharapova, faces the fifth seed Agnieszka Radwanska in the other women's semi-final. Then later in the men's draw, the first semi-final for them, Stanislav Wawrinka against Tomas Berdych. Wawrinka causing a significant upset by beating Novak Djokovic. He says he won't have a better chance to reach a Grand Slam final, but Berdych shouldn't be underestimated.
It's for sure a big chance, but you know, Berdych is playing really well since the beginning of the tournament. He's going to be a tough player to beat. He already made one final in one slam. He already made semifinal in every Grand Slam. So he's there. He's really close from the top guy. So it's going to be a tough battle.
Switzerland's Stanislav Wawrinka, who Roger Federer has nicknamed the Stanimal. And that's the latest world sport for you from the BBC.